Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD relationships, love languages. And with us in our virtual studio is Melissa Orlov, one of my favorite guests to have on when it comes to ADHD and relationships. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, April the 11th in the year 2018 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Some announcements. Our program tonight is being brought to you by Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. We're very proud to have them as a sponsor. They are offering two free digital copies of Attention Magazine. All you have to do is listen for the secret word given in each of our shows. You got to get three of them and email us at attention@attentiontalkradio.com with the date and the secret words of three of them, or the name of the show and the secret words. And we will email you two PDF copies of the magazine. We also have a tip for you that Chad's going to share, so we'll do that and we'll get into the meat of the show.
For children with ADHD, summertime needs a well-thought-out plan. To keep your child happy and healthy, here are a few tips. Create a routine, provide structured activities, and set a bedtime to keep your child from being tired and restless the next day. For more summer survival tips, visit Chad's website at helpforadhd.org.
Again, thank you, Chad, for your support. For those of you who are not aware of who Chad is, they are the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. I encourage all of our listeners to be members. They've got lots of great benefits. They take part in the annual International Conference for ADHD every year. They have Attention Magazine. They've got a website with forums, all kinds of stuff. But the real reason to support them is to support them because they speak on behalf of us on Capitol Hill and regulatory agencies. They allow us to speak really with one voice, and they're really invaluable. I encourage you to go learn more about them. Go to chadd.org. Okay, so tonight is ADHD in relationships. Specifically, years ago, I had had people come talk to me about that I should read this book called The Five Love Languages. And over the years, it's kind of come up over kind of a period of time. And recently, I actually listened to the audiobook, which is rare for me. I'm not a big reader, but I found the audio version of it. And it was fascinating. I've been using it more and more and more in my coaching when it comes to relationships. So the idea was born. I called Melissa, and so we decided to put this thing together. It was pre-recorded, and it's awesome. It is awesome. So we're going to roll the tape. We hope you enjoy it. Melissa Orlov is the author of two award-winning books on the impact of ADHD in relationships, The ADHD Marriage Effect, put out in 2010, and The Couple's Guide to Thriving with ADHD, put out in 2014. She is considered one of the foremost authorities on the topic. A marriage consultant, Melissa helps ADHD-affected couples from around the world rebalance their relationships and learn to thrive. She also teaches marriage counselors and other professionals about effective marriage therapy for couples impacted with ADHD. She's been interviewed by the New York Times, CNN, Today, U.S. News and World Report, CBS, AOL, and many others. She graduated cum laude from Harvard College. You can learn more about her and check out her books at her website, ADHDmarriage.com. With that, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Jeff.
Really excited about tonight's show. It's been fascinating to me. I got into coaching about 10 years ago, and I heard people talk about the Love Languages book. And I never read it. I'm not a really big reader. But as time has progressed over the last 10 years, I've heard more and more about it. And I've got a bunch of friends out in the dating world. And it's been fascinating to me how big a topic this is. And I started to listen to that book at the time. And I was like, interesting to me, because I reflected on my own life. And I actually kind of took the test, and it was fascinating, because I began to look at the love languages, and for me, my bottom one was gifts. And it was interesting, because I began to think about, if somebody else's love language was gifts, it was very effortful for me to actually stop and remember it, because it was unnatural. And then I began to think about ADHD and self-regulation, and this is just a really interesting tool that one could begin to use to kind of pause and self-regulate in a form of communication. And I wanted to reach out to you and this to kind of talk about this and say, I know you've talked about this in some of your work, Tell me about your experience with love languages and working with couples, and just kind of frame that out. Let's kind of get into this a little bit, because I think this is fascinating.
Well, I run into miscommunication and difficulty communicating all the time between couples. I think maybe before we go forward, would it be possible? I'm just going to say very quickly what the five love languages are so that somebody's kind of curious and picking it up. One of them is words of affirmation, so things that you say to a partner and your partner can hear that you're affirming them. The second one is called quality time, so time together. The third is receiving gifts, so that's the person is giving you gifts, and therefore you understand that they love you. That's the one you were talking about. Another is acts of service, where you're doing something for your partner, and the act of doing is what they notice. And then the last one is physical touch. So I run into, when I work with couples impacted by ADHD, a lot of sort of misfires in terms of how they communicate, in part because lots of times they're so different. And, of course, the love languages are quite different ways of communicating as well. And one of the big issues in these relationships, in part because distractibility is such a big symptom of ADHD, is understanding that you are loved. So the love languages are very relevant in terms of ways to think about making sure your partner understands that they are loved in spite of the fact that one partner might be chronically distracted.
So we do a lot of paying attention to attention on the show. And it's interesting to me because one person can have one love language that's dominant and their partner can have a completely different love language. Like for me, if their love language is gifts, that's the furthest from my mind and the hardest for me to do. And if you're with a partner, the idea of paying attention to what they pay attention to and what you're paying attention to actually gets you to help kind of pause and think about it from a different perspective so that you can kind of communicate better. I find this really kind of fascinating as a tool to help people just sit down and kind of stop that automatic behavior and begin to think about what's going on. Is this a challenge for those with ADHD to adopt? Think about these terms?
Well, I think it is, and also there's this sort of why can't you hear me thing going on, mm-hmm. right? So it is a challenge to be aware of what your partner's language is and then stop long enough to use that language rather than the one that you're comfortable with. I mean, I'll give you a great example from my husband and I. My husband's love language is acts of service, and mine is physical touch. So they're pretty different, and when he goes about doing his comfortable love language, which is acts of service, he'll go out and do stuff for me. So he'll set up my computer, take care of my website, or do something nice for me at the house. But I don't hear those so well because I do a lot of stuff myself, and so I just sort of take that in stride, like, well, everybody does stuff, right? Even though it could be really hard for him. So I don't hear unless he is either giving me, words of affirmation or touching me. And I don't mean just sexually. I mean just like holding my hand or, putting it on my arm or something like that. I tend not to hear it very well. So it's not only that he has to communicate in my language for me to hear it better, but also that I have to be willing to interpret his acts of service as an indication of love. It goes both ways, right?
Yeah. I'm going to slow this down for a second because I really like this. There's a big awareness going on in as much as what you listen to, how he naturally gives. So one is for him to know what your love language is and try to speak that ease, but also for you to understand what he's doing to balance. And again, as I just think about, as you describe having to stop and witness and pay attention to what he's doing and interpret that, it's a real good attention exercise, I think, to kind of help people pause and ponder and really realize what's going on. And I think it's pretty effortful. It's not, I mean, it sounds easy on a piece of paper, but difficult to execute.
Well, and also you sort of have to remind yourself to put things in context, right? I'll give you a great example. My husband loves electronics and stuff, and he was noticing that I didn't have a decent radio in my office, and so he went and bought me some very nice small speakers to hook up to my Amazon machine, and and I hadn't asked for those speakers, so it was a surprise to me, and I was kind of like, wait, what's he doing? And then I realized, well, what he's doing is he's showing me how much he cares. He thought about this. But I had to sort of step back. You have to almost leave yourself open for these bids for, showing you that person loves you, and interpret that way rather than saying, huh, why'd you buy me speakers? Go, oh, that was such a nice thing to do. But then also, he also has to make an effort to speak my language as well. So it is an interesting way that you have to pay attention. And I think for couples impacted by ADHD, there are so many other ways that they miscommunicate. Like they make these assumptions about motivations, for example. And if I were going to be really harsh on my partner, I'd say, well, he got me speakers because he likes speakers.
Yep.
Not, right?
Yep.
And that's not it, actually. That's genuinely not it. But we make a lot of mistakes based on motivations because we interpret others' motivations through our own lens. And non-ADHD and ADHD partners are so different in terms of what motivates them typically that you just can't do that. So there's all this stuff that happens that you have to really be taken into account. So, yeah,
absolutely.
You have to be thinking. And that's tough, but also fulfilling.
Uh-huh, absolutely. I tell you what, I love where we are with this. Let's take a break real quick. Everyone out there, Melissa's my favorite in this particular area. Check out her website at ADHDmarriage.com. You can learn about a book. She's got blogs. She's got all kinds of really, really, really good resources there. And I can't tell you, we have a lot of videos that I've done with her on Attention Talk Video, and I've used them a lot with people that I'm working with because she's got great information. In fact, we're going to kind of touch base on one of my favorite things that she does and kind of tie it together. For those listening that are interested in the Attention Magazine, our secret word tonight is the word love. Again, the secret word is love. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Melissa Orlov, ADHD marriage consultant. We're having a conversation about the love languages. And really, what the emphasis of this show was my own personal realization of this and the effort it takes for me to speak somebody else's love language, which is might be gifts, because it's not natural for me. I actually have to stop and pause and think about it. And I think Melissa did a great job before the break kind of talking about how even if I get a gift from somebody, I have to stop and realize that's a big deal to them. And, Melissa, we've done some other shows and talked about the ADHD symptom response in the past, where there's an ADHD symptom and the non-ADHD person has an emotional reaction to that. And then the ADHD person has an emotional reaction to their emotion, and it kind of spins out of control. And I know you do a lot of working with couples to kind of stop that. It's interesting to me because as an athlete, I think of things in terms of exercise, and attention exercises is one of them. And when a person gets into these emotional kind of spirals, to actually stop and get out of it is difficult. And this love language thing to me is kind of interesting, because if you get kind of tapped into it and you become attuned, it's almost like an attention exercise, because you got to stop and you got to practice noticing your partner's love language, and you've got to stop and practice listening to them respond maybe in a different love language and interpret it. And I think that's really kind of tough, but I think it's really an interesting exercise for couples to go through, because it helps create that awareness in a more kind of a thoughtful kind of attention exercise type way, because you got to stop and think about it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you do, it always helps to stop and think, and it's easier to stop and think if you have the background information that gives you the right interpretations of
yep.
these symptoms and the things that are coming at you, which is part of the reason the love languages information is so interesting. I was just sitting here looking at this list of the different love languages that I sort of wrote out just to make sure I'd say them the right way. And one of them is quality time. And I think about what it would be like to be a non-ADHD partner whose love language was quality time, who was paired with an ADHD partner who was chronically distracted and had difficulty, not flitting from thing to thing to thing, and how much you would have to really think about that. And one way to actually create a pause is to schedule something. So in that case, you would do some time. I call it attend time, but you would actually schedule, say, as every Saturday afternoon to spend it together, to do something together, so that you could, remember why you enjoy being together, for example. And that would satisfy that person's need for quality time together, as do date nights and other kinds of things. So there are some ADD-friendly strategies that you can use besides just saying, okay, I'm going to pause. Scheduling is a different kind of pause. It's a commitment to hearing that language.
So this, I'm really, really, really glad you brought this up, because there was an individual that I was working with some time ago, and he and his wife were going through your program and kind of reading through it. It was funny, because I suspect, looking back on it, one of her love languages was quality time, and this individual was constantly in motion. And one weekend, I remember he was like, his wife was upset because it was a rainy day and she just wanted to kind of hang out and watch Netflix all day or something. It was just kind of fascinating. But we began to realize is that he always had to be moving. So we concocted this great plan where one day she came home and he was going to spend some quality time with her. He had put a bar stool across from an exercise bike that he had inside. So she comes into the house and he walks her over and puts her on the bar stool and gives her a glass of wine. And he gets onto the exercise bike and starts rolling. And he says, "Let's spend some time together." And she looked at him like, "What?" And like, "No." And it was funny because she was struggling with it a little bit because he was on the exercise bike. But he said, for the first time, I really could pay attention to what she was saying because he was moving. It helped him focus on what was going on. And it was funny for us because it was a big win, because he had always wanted to spend quality time. But as he said, when I'm sitting there watching Netflix, he's just crawling out of his skin because he's not relaxed unless he's moving. His wife isn't relaxed unless she's sitting still.
Sitting.
And it was just kind of fun because we adjusted this environment so that he could speak her love language in a way that he could kind of pay attention. And it's, I actually have a little cartoon that we do in a blog that I've done on my post. And so, again, that's a coaching side of it. Like, how can I work with him a little bit to design the environment so he can spend that quality time? And it was, like I said, it was a lot of fun for us. We were all excited. She was coming up, and he called me the next day. He said, I paid attention like the first time. Like, I've been married for like 25 years, and I really remember what she said. We were so excited. She thought it was a little strange, but as time went on, she began to realize because he remembered what was going on. So, again, I just wanted to tell that story because – quality time can be difficult for those with ADHD, but particularly the ones that have to be moving. But you can change the environment a little bit and adapt to make that happen. So, again, I'm glad. It's just a fun story.
I've run into a lot of couples where one person wants to sit still and watch TV or something, and the other one is crawling out of their skin, or they have fights over the remote control or something. Well, another version of that is going slightly in sort of meeting in the middle, which is walking together. So it's he's still moving, which will calm his mind, and she's not exercising so greatly that she's feeling out of breath or anything like that.
Yep.
And, it could be nice if they're out in the woods or something like that. And I find that's something that a lot of couples like to do. It's easier if you have things to talk about to be moving and not actually looking each other in the eyes and putting any more pressure on it. The walking is kind of a casual way to do that.
Absolutely,
so,
absolutely.
A little tangent there, but.
Well, I think it's good because I think that the idea is, and you and I talked about this just before we kind of came on air, is that these love languages are kind of interesting, but it's a little bit of a challenge for those with ADD. I think we're just really highlighting is that, like, again, quality time together might be difficult, but from a coaching perspective, it's not always just sitting there and trying harder. It's actually, okay, meeting you where you are. Okay, you can spend that quality time if you're moving. So maybe sit on exercise or walk because you can adjust that environment and make it easy for you to meet in the middle as opposed to one just going to the extreme. And I think that's the key is the communication and working together. You and I also, we did a Attention Dog video on styles like, for me, if something's on the counter, it needs to be put away. It needs to go to its home. But for somebody else, it might be a visual reminder. And so we have different styles in that particular environment. And not to say, listen, the other person's got to change or I've got to change. But I've been with people before where, okay, this space is where you can leave it out. And this space is my clear space. And so we have zones. And whatever's in that space is just invisible to me. And that's, again, it's communicating and working together in an environmental situation so both of you can be who you are and kind of connect. And that's why I kind of like this topic so much is it's a practical way of just having these conversations and working together to make that happen.
Well, and there are some interesting things that I used to be a words of affirmation person, I think, as much as a physical touch person. Things have sort of shifted for me a little bit. And it was interesting. It was an interesting challenge for my husband, who, like many people with ADHD, isn't always as observant of my emotions or the things that I might need as I would have liked. And that's been sort of observed in research. So that's sort of an ADD thing where you don't always read other people's emotional cues. And so he didn't always know when I needed words of affirmation. So when you talk about meeting in the middle, one of the things that we have figured out is that there's no shame and no, you know, I shouldn't expect that he can sort of magically overcome that. So when I have something I want him to understand about me, it's a neutral or positive act in our relationship for me to voice those in a very respectful way. And he's perfectly happy to listen empathetically. He just doesn't have an easy time, you know, sort of reading it, you know, from scratch. And so that's another version of meeting in the middle around getting your love language needs met.
Absolutely. So that I'm really glad you brought that up. I want to come back and kind of jump on that a little bit because there's nonverbal communication, which is something else that I've coached a little bit. So we'll come back to that, but we're going to go to break. Everyone, tonight's secret word is love. Again, the secret word is love. And if you haven't done it already, you need to write it down or get on your computer right now and go to Melissa's website, ADHDmarriage.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to our great conversation with one of my favorites, Melissa Orlov. before the break, we were just kind of taking a look at some of the love languages and adapting them, I guess, situationally. And before the break, Melissa did a great job talking about emotions and what I call nonverbal communications. About a year or two ago, I stumbled into a Netflix special on love language or something like that. And then my son and I were reading like this book on handshakes and all the gestures. And I really opened my eyes up to realize that really, I guess only 30% of communication is the actual words. So much more communication is nonverbal. And many with ADHD, they miss that. And I've coached many individuals before around dating and stuff that had difficulty asking girls out, if you will. And we started talking about how to get in an environment and how to watch for their nonverbal communication. Like, are they open? Are they receiving and comforting? And it's fascinating because in working with those with ADHD that like to solve problems, you send them off. They're like the detective at this point in time because now they're listening kind of a different level. And Melissa, before the break, or you were talking about, you know, you having to stop and notice when your husband gets you speakers for your computer, realize that he's actually communicating to you in a love language. To me, this is just another great thing about the love languages is you can begin to start to listen for these things and realize is that if your partner's love language is gifts or acts of service and they're doing that stuff and actually watching their physical communication. They're not saying I like you by giving these speakers, but that's kind of what they're communicating. And listening to that, I think it's just a really good exercise for those with ADHD to begin to listen to these types of things in a more thoughtful way. Thoughts on that?
Well, it's true. And I have to say, you know, even as I'm thinking about this particular thing, you know, where he was doing an act of service, he was helping me make my office nicer, essentially, and my environment nicer. It brings great feelings of affection towards me, for me, towards him. So I think about the effort that went into that, and it makes me very happy. And lots of times he thinks of something that I didn't ask for, but that I actually really end up enjoying. So, but it is an interesting challenge to hear things, and you do want to, I think, modify your behaviors towards each other to be open to or receiving your partner's love language, as well as encouraging them to improve their expression of your own language. So, and I think it's good to have an overt conversation about it. In fact, going online to take the love languages quiz, which you can find very easily by Googling it, can be a fun thing to do together and just have a conversation around it. So one of the things I do with my couples, which is not love language specific, but I suggest that they have an hour or two a week, 1 hour slots, so like Saturday morning for an hour, Sunday morning for an hour, whatever, where they sit down and talk about whatever emotional thing came up for them that week so that they can stay on top of it and things don't build up until they get to a bursting point. You know, they don't sort of sit in there and get worse.
Yep.
And one of the, you can also do fun things. So one of the fun things you could do is sit down and both take that test together and then say, oh, look at that. My love language is X. How do I express that? And how do I, you know, towards you and have a really fun conversation? It'd also make a fun date night as well.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
I'll just take that a little bit further. If you don't read the book, if you just go out and take the love languages test, you take and you think there's five. The one thing that I really want to emphasize is each one of these is really a category. And what I really took early on from the book when I was listening to it was that there's different dialects within each one of these. So touch might be intimacy, but it might not necessarily be. It could be just holding hands or a hug or a kiss. Or maybe cuddling for a period of time. And I really emphasize that dialect because even if – like words of affirmation is one for me, but it's not like, hey, Jeff, you're really good. It's just kind of being noticed. It's like sometimes it's just like I say something that might be kind of insightful and it turns ahead. That is communication to me. Like they noticed what I said. Maybe it was a little bit different in a different perspective. And again, I think it's a lot of fun if you sit down with your partner, you go through this, and then you begin to learn what your dialect is with more specificity, and your partner does, because now you're listening to yourself and you're listening to them. And I think it can be a real fun exercise for both of you to open your mind, open up communication, and have a central theme for you guys to work together on. So Yeah. I really like that idea, getting together. It's kind of fun.
And there's another variation or dialect, if you want to call it that, for words of affirmation, which is actually what's called validation. So you when you validate somebody, you recognize what they have told you. You may not agree with what they've told you at all, but just by sort of acknowledging that they have the right to that opinion, you acknowledge and hear them. And that's very affirming. That's a very loving thing to do. And not what people normally, when they see words of affirmation, what they think of is something, you know, like, oh, you're so great. That's not it. You know, when somebody says to you, gee, I don't think I can do something, you know, and you can say back to them, okay, I hear you. I hear what you say. You don't think you can do that. And I accept that you can't do it, at least as you've been doing it that way. But, you know, that creates a little bit of a problem for me. So can we talk further about it and what's getting in your way? That's also an affirmation in that you are seen and heard and paid attention to.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you brought this up. I can't help but share this. I do train other people to become life coaches and ADHD coaches. And when early on, one of the things that we talk about is when you're first working with a client is receiving them. And it's really about listening to them. It's really about hearing them. And when I'm working with new coaches, I have this one program that I sit and I'll say, everybody, I want you to stop for a second. I want you to think about in your entire life, how many people actually get you? I mean, truly understand you. And I'll let them think for a couple seconds. And then I'll go, does anybody have a list of three or more? Rarely does anybody speak up. Usually I get crickets. And then I go, does anybody have two? And usually I'll get, yeah, like a one person or maybe two if I'm lucky. But I stop there. I don't go to one because the tears start.
Yeah, that would be depressing.
and the reason I'm saying this is because my point in all this stuff is you're with somebody and for the first time in your entire life, you feel heard. And that you feel understood. As young coaches are really nervous about what's kind of going on. I'm like, you don't even have to coach them. If a person feels like they're heard, they begin to relax and they begin to unpack things and they can begin to address it. And it's like it's transformational. And the reason I'm really bringing this up with is because I think if you can use the love languages or even – I know, Melissa, a lot of your program is really about hearing the other person and getting them understood. And if you can actually listen to your partner – and you can speak their love language, they actually feel heard. I think it's a coming together moment like no other because you're really, really kind of connected. And again, with coaching, you cannot coach anybody unless you're connected and you want them to feel safe and you want them to feel heard. And that, as I described to the coaches, is a self-regulation issue. It's the ability to get outside of your head and quit inferring what it is. Like this love language must be like mine. No, you really have to listen to it and be curious about their dialect. And so taking it back to, I think, your point, is that you use this as tool as a listening tool and a communication tool in a way to bring each other together to truly get each other. I think it's just really, really valuable and I think really helpful. So any comments on that or any other things? Because I think we need to pull this thing together and wrap it up. Thoughts?
Well, I think that the validation thing is really important and one of the very positive sides of listening to somebody's love language or starting to use it is when they do feel heard, it's much easier to let go of things like anger or frustration because you're feeling heard. Even if you still have problems that need to be resolved, and you will, you know, you still might need to manage ADHD more or you still might need to manage parenting behaviors more or anger or issues or whatever. The fact that you're feeling heard gives you hope that things can be negotiated between you and that you can find a happy place for both of you. So it's really a critical, whether you call it validation or, you know, one part of affirmation or whatever, it's really a critical skill. And once you get it, couples tend to do quite well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Melissa, I can't tell you, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
I love being on the show. It's fun.
Everybody, go check out Melissa's website at ADHDmarriage.com. We hope you've enjoyed this edition. Catch us next week. Take care.